Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Friday, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G-S, find our podcast and subscribe. Well, we have a fun show for you here. We have a returning guest. It's been at least 4 years since I talked to this gentleman. He is just an amazing guy. I'm talking about Chris Prefontaine, and he is a three-time best-selling author of, here's some of the books, Real Estate on Your Terms, The New Rules of Real Estate Investing, and Monica Sawyer's Real Estate Investing for Women. He is the founder and CEO of Smart Real Estate Coach and host of the Smart Real Estate Coach podcast. Well, Chris, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
It's a pleasure to be back, Bill. I'm sitting here taking notes thinking, okay, it was fun when you said over 50 when I was 52, but now we're fast forwarding 4 years. Now it's starting to be an issue.
Yeah, but you know, us old dogs can still learn new tricks, so there's nothing wrong 100%. With that, you know? Well, I am dying to catch up with you. It's been a long time. You were doing amazing things 4 years ago, but I'm sure a lot of new stuff has happened since then. So, yeah, just bring us up to date if you don't mind.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. That was 18. I'll just be surface level and we can dive back into any piece of this. But we bought our own building at the end of 18, actually, and we bought it on terms, which is, as you know, how we buy. It was a free and clear property, and we structured owner financing. So that's unique, especially around here. We live on a very active real estate market. It's an island, so it's a hot market almost always. And it's also unique because it was a sort of a commercial slash office multi-use building, and that's tough to go bank financing with these days. So yeah, it was great. Since then, the community has grown all around the country. If I think back to 19, 20, 21, a whole bunch has happened. We've spread out with what we call, who we call our associates, doing deals and really rev that up as far as how much we get in the trenches with them and help them do deals. Because as you know, I don't know what we talked about 4 years ago in detail. I scanned it, but I can tell you that the issue, in my opinion, still exists. And I'd love your opinion on it. And the issue being in the training space, there's a whole bunch of good marketers, but there's not a whole bunch of people able to do a whole bunch of deals. And I think that was just a big gap. So we're hoping to continue to close that, Bill. And that's what's been going on since then. We just continue our mission.
Gosh, that's fascinating. Tell me exactly where you are. What island?
Well, we're in Rhode Island. And then in Rhode Island, we're on an island called Aquidneck Island. It's three towns. And my office and my home are in one of the three towns. So it tends to be a pretty hot market, you know, in general. Even I was told, and I wasn't down here full time until 08, so I kind of missed a lot of the crap that went on in the crash. But I was told by the realtors that back then, you know, this particular area is what was the only place selling the property. So it stays pretty busy.
Wow, that's great. And of course, you know, you didn't just buy a building; you had to negotiate a deal here. And how many square feet is the building?
The building's just under 6,000. It was sort of a mess. My wife looked at it and said, "You got to be kidding me!" Like she looks back in hindsight and says, "Wow, what a cool deal!" And we inherited some really long-term tenants. We built a studio during COVID in the basement. It's really become quite useful and applicable, not just as an investment, but for our companies.
Oh, that's got to be great. Well, I remember, you know, way back when we were talking, the fact that you were teaching people how to find deals, you know, not necessarily commercial at that time, but, you know, talking about houses and how to get owner financing and to be able to get in with no money down. And I mean, just doing amazing things back then. And so I'd love to hear kind of, you know, what you're doing right now in terms of what you're teaching your students and, you know, where is your emphasis?
Yeah, so good, very applicable question and appropriate meaning with the market changes, right? Because everybody wants to know what the heck's going on in the market. And if I knew, I wouldn't be on the podcast, right? We'd be on a beach somewhere forever. But the fact is we have tweaked a little bit as far as within the niche that we swim in, that being lease purchase, owner financing, and subject to existing financing deals. Within that space, we have been pushing longer terms for our students so that they wouldn't worry so much or get caught up in any quick cycles that were going on. So that's one, I'll call it a change, because we have changed personally with our family team to, hey, the standard being when I talk to a seller 3 or 4 years to really anchoring a much longer term and then seeing where that goes in the negotiation. So we're getting 5 and 10 year terms, no problem. We're turning some of those deals into sub-2 deals and, you know, taking them out 20 years. So that has changed a lot. It's just because we focus mentally on, okay, that's what we got to do personally, and then we'll go teach the students to do that. We've added a second component that, again, it's really, if you remember, Bill, it's stuff we do. So whatever we do as a family team, we say, hey, if that worked, let's bring it to the Wicked Smart community. And so the other thing was sort of teaching them how to become the authority in their marketplace, meaning their expert, the expert, and so that people seek them out. And so we've done that through some one-on-one coaching with myself and a good friend and accountability partner, Stephen Westner. We teach the higher level students and associates how to do just that in their marketplace. And then we actually have a book coming out called Sell with Authority for Real Estate Investors. It was a Sell with Authority book that was like they like chicken souped it, and they came to us and said, "Will you do the real estate one?" And so that's coming out here in just a couple months. It's done. And so that goes along with the kind of what we call stacking, tacking on new, more and more things. So longer terms, becoming the authority, and really just getting really, really good at constructing these deals. We still do residential, to your earlier point, but there's nothing, literally, if you think back in history, 1600s before banking in New York City, if you read the Vanderbilt book that Anderson Cooper recently came out with, they talk in that book about prior to banking in New York City in the 1600s, people doing master leases is what they called it then, and owner financing. So it's like I always tell people, it's not new. It's proven, it's been around forever. We just kind of tweaked the processes and wrapped some support around it, if that makes sense. And sorry, that was a long answer to a good question.
Well, you know, I know you mentioned you don't want to be a procrastinator, you know, really to take a look at, you know, where the market is going, but you are experiencing things in this market, it sounds like, that are demonstrating trends. And that we'd really love to hear about, because with a booming market like this, with, you know, just record highs and, you know, on home prices, what opportunities are there still, you know, for distressed deals and that kind of thing?
I'll tell you what I'm seeing of late, and it's only fresh on brain because as of this filming with you, recording, I just got off a mastermind call with our higher level people. I think there was 21 of us on there. And what I pointed out is it's kind of cool. Our Wicked Smart community is like a microcosm of society. So I get a decent look around the country, as small as we are. I get a decent look at what's going on. And by and large, we're seeing more and more people getting hurt or potentially getting hurt if we don't get to them with the banks. So I'll give you real examples. So just this week with our family team, we had the poor woman was she owes around 100 and I think it's like 170 grand. She's about 40 grand or more in arrears. And she literally said, "Is it because of medical? It's legitimate, like 3-year medical hassle." And so she said, "I just can't do anything. Like, I'm literally done. There's no more forbearance stuff going on in the banks. And I'm just going to let it go. Could you guys help me? Because if not," she gets foreclosed, as you know, and she's got a seven year headache. Hmm. So why I'm bringing this up is, my wife recently also said, why are we seeing more foreclosures around our area than ever before, all of a sudden popping up online? And I said, it's because, in my opinion, the banks are now obviously not doing the forbearance and the kick the can down the street that they were doing. And a lot of this stuff's coming up now, and we can be the guide. I know the market's hot, but unbeknownst to so many people, there's a lot of these people that need us as investors to be their guide and to literally, I won't say save, but to help them. I think that's a big, big trend. There's actually a list now called COVID Distress. I was amazed that it already came out.
Wow.
And so we're experimenting with that list a little bit. And we are experiencing with probate, doing terms deals with probate. I just don't think that's ever going anywhere. Someone gave me a stat. This is not mine. Just the other day, Bill, he said he's been doing probate 20 something years. And he said on my show, someone is dying every 8 seconds in the U.S. and someone is born every 6 seconds. And he was just given the massive market that probate is. So it fits quite well within the terms niche that we operate in. It just takes more time. So it's not a great sort of entry level thing for a new person to do. But if you've got some training going on, or you got a coach, or you got some business going on, probate's a nice thing to tack on. So those are some new things that I'm seeing and hearing and practicing.
And as far as the sort of distressed situation, are these, we heard sort of during COVID that there was sort of this backlog of foreclosures that was building up, and they're putting them off with forbearance and what have you, trying to delay the process. Was that an accurate statement by people that there really was this buildup, and now everything's been exhausted and there's no other place to go but foreclosure?
I'm feeling it. I'm not saying I'm in any way a statistician or economist that would know that for a fact, but I'm just going by, again, my kind of snippet or my microcosm of society being my community, and I'm hearing it. So I'm hearing things like that, and I'm hearing things like, I'm getting callbacks from sellers that, I called during COVID and they were somewhat, I'll use their words, they were somewhat delusional that market was screaming hot. And now, in my opinion, it's softening in different pockets, even though it's screaming hot in a lot of places still. And we are getting these distressed situations popping their head up.
The situations there, are they a result, a direct result of COVID, where you, for example, a lot of small business people were hit and some unrecoverable. And we kind of know about that. We also know that large corporations were outsourcing, or actually, that they were doing remote, employees and things like that. But, was there downsizing, a lot of downsizing? Is it because they're out of work? We hear that there's a strong demand for people in so many areas, but so it's kind of confusing to see where it's happening. Inflation, we've got inflation affecting everything, but what do you think is the real cause there?
I don't know that directly, but I have two comments on that I hope are nuggets that someone can work with. And that is, one is because of the COVID, you can look at this as a positive, the rise in entrepreneurship, and it's different stats if you Google this, meaning people saying to heck with corporate America or to heck with flying around, they go start their own business. In Michael Dell's recent book, he cited, I think it was a couple hundred thousand businesses a year in the United States that get registered anyway, and that was doubled last year, and he expected to go up again. And I heard somewhere else when I Googled, I said, that's interesting. Let me see. There was like a 72% of increase of people starting their own business. So all that to say, because of COVID, that has pushed a lot of that And that affected us in two ways, and it probably affects other people listening. One is it drove people to our community. That's fine. But from a real estate standpoint, it's driving an issue with these entrepreneurs that probably presumably made decent money in corporate and opted to leave. I'm not talking about layoffs. I'm talking about people that opted to say to heck with the job. And so they had probably a good financial base, but because they just started their own business, they're not bankable right now. They can't go get a loan as a buyer. That's another enormous upsurge in who we can help in the terms niche, because now they need a couple years, 2 years typically, of seasoning with the banks, unless that changes. But you go get a new job or you start a new business, they need a couple years. But these are great potential buyers with most of them down payments, and they fit our model tremendously well. So we see that. That's a positive, because we went from the distress to this. And I just wanted to add the other dimension to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm asking, because I think you would see those sort of budding entrepreneurs, I would think, and especially because of the fact that you teach creative financing and things that a new business would really need, or just somebody starting off and they're just going to start. Maybe they're going to look at lease options and to build a lease option business, getting that. If they don't have the funding, to be able to what they need to in order to get that launched.
Yeah. And even if they had money, I'll say this for the listeners that might fall into that corporate mode. I've had I'll be specific. I've had doctors, nurses, two attorneys, and one of those doctors was a surgeon, come to our community. So they have money. It's not like they can't go out and invest in a property. But when they hear, you mean I can go do these deals and maybe put zero to a little bit? Because if you do owner financing or sub two, you might have to come up, or like you find a deal like me this week with the, 39, 40 grand in arrears. Okay. So there are opportunities like that. But we can, to your point, teach them, don't pull that out of the bank. Don't pull that out of investments. Don't pull that off the sidelines yet. And let's go build up a little bit of a lease purchase or an owner financing portfolio like my building that you didn't have to put a whole bunch of money down, so that they can get the best of both while they wait out their 2 years of seasoning, or while they start their own business, or whatever their situation might be.
Well, I remember you mentioning from before that you help them in a couple of different avenues when you teach them where to find these properties. But you also, and I could be wrong here, but it was I thought you were also helping them to build up sort of a buyer pool, so that as they find these properties, whether they're flipping or wholesaling or what have you, that you've got those investors in your pocket, so you don't have to deal with the banks. You can work with private money. Is that still the case? Or
a little bit of both and a little bit of twist. So yes, we have them build up the portfolio without putting cash down. Is that kind of your main gist? Is that was the base of that question?
Yeah, exactly. Well, in other words, find a deal, and whether it goes in a contract or what have you, they've got somebody on the other. Yeah, right.
I got you. Sorry. So yeah. So unlike a lot of the niches, Bill, on the buyer side, we don't have to pre-build a list. But the neat thing is, once you get, because we teach you to do business right in your area, there's no reason to go, trying to find out markets and all this crazy stuff. In our niche, just operate in your area. Once you get your first property under agreement, you will build an immediate buyer's list. And here's why. I hope it's obvious, but I want to make sure I state it because of the recent COVID example I gave with the extra buyers out there. When you offer out in the marketplace a terms deal or an owner financing deal or a lease purchase deal, you're offering the buyers that. All of that increase in entrepreneurship, all those people I told you that weren't bankable right now, or they get hit with COVID, so their credit needs time, whatever it may be, they're on there. It's way higher than it was, say, when you and I talked 4 years ago. And so you can help them, and they'll come flocking to you just with your first two properties, and you'll instantly build a buyer's list. So there's no need to try to learn how to market ahead of time. Just go get your first two properties and you'll have a ton of buyers.
God, that's great. That's great. And it's interesting you mentioned the healthcare side of things. I mean, there's a crisis going on right now in a lot of communities, because the number of nurses that are no longer part of the hospitals locally in their area and so forth. And I could see how that could be an audience for you, a real strong one. I know doctors that that just you know, they're no longer, you know, practicing anymore because of the pressures and the and some of the issues associated with it. So, I didn't even think about that. That could be a great audience for you.
I think it's the pressure from the COVID stuff for sure, no doubt. But it's also maybe it just pushed them over the line, meaning I'm just trying to visualize how I'm saying this. And that is, like, we teach, as you probably remember, 3 paydays per deal. Like, they get cash now, cash over time, and cash long term. And when you start talking to a doctor, let's just pick on that for a minute, who, if they lose the use of their hands, let's say, or they can't physically go perform, especially the surgeon, then they're literally out of business, and their multiple six-figure lifestyle that so many of them have built, like, goes away potentially tomorrow, unless they're very well set up financially. And so when they start looking at our deals, even if they play with it on the sidelines and just do like a few a year, they're establishing an entirely different nest egg, at least entirely different for them, to support or to grow their lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because that is a, you know, it's just like any business or any trade, you know, when somebody, there's an injury or something, you know, that boom, you could just be out of business. If you're a plumber and you've got inoperable hands or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, boom, you're stuck. So, you know, one thing about what you teach is that for the most part, I mean, all they need is a little laptop and understand the basics of how to do that kind of business. Right.
Yeah. Because, okay. Going back to another, thing you asked about COVID. So here's another cool thing, positive. When, just to your point about the laptop, so let's just say that pre-COVID, were sellers as open to, was it as palatable for them to have a call from, let's say, me or you as an investor and just do it over FaceTime or do it over Zoom? No, not so much. It was like a given, you went out. And so there's so many more appointments now, I'd say over 50%, where not only do they want you to do that, it's acceptable, you know, to the point where they expect that to be the first step. We do walkthroughs through FaceTime and Zoom. That's pretty cool. And so it's no longer, oh, they don't want to come out or they're not interested. It's kind of acceptable. It was health, and now it's just kind of like, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we take that first step to make sure it's even worth spending time together?
Yeah, that has transformed, I mean, the entire nation, just the world, you know, just the people using Zoom now as a regular, you know, part of their days even. And even in the real estate community, just the virtual walkthroughs and are so much crazy. more acceptable than they ever have been.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I would love to hear, you know, maybe if you wanted to share some stories about, you know, people and some of their situations and how you've been able to help these people through the various things that you're teaching folks. You know, I really love too. I didn't want to say this earlier too. It's just, it really is a family business. You mentioned it a couple of times, but that was one of the things that really impressed me, that you and your wife were up there, your kids, this was very much a family business. And I'm sure your kids have grown a little since then, but that really means a lot, because I think people need to see that, you know, this is something you learned by doing it yourself first, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll make a few comments on that. And I do have a story or two to share, because I think it will touch someone out there that says, okay, that's me. I can do that. Yes, it's a family company. Still, our kids, quote unquote, are in the 30s, early 30s. I've got 2 grandkids now. And so Kayla's not as active, my daughter, but Zach, my son-in-law, and Nick are very, very active. And so even to the point, Bill, like if someone calls us and says, the probate guy is a great example. Hey, Chris, I got this great program. And I said, whoa, pump the brakes. We have to, as a family team, try your program. I think it's valid. This is like 9 months ago. And then if we like it and if we get results, then we'll bring it to the Wicked Smart community, the students. And they know that now. They trust us that we will vet it, because we're in the trenches, we're in the field. So that works. It also works when mistakes come and curveballs come on deals. we immediately, because we're talking to him weekly on Zoom, we have open calls. So we immediately jump on and go, okay, here's the lessons this week. And they love that. So it's like we're on cutting edge. And then they, for us, right, they're on cutting edge because we've got Microcosm I keep referring to. We got all these people out there. We as a community learn together. So it is that family environment with them as well, not just our immediate family. So just a side note. As far as the story, when you started that question, that I talked about corporate. So let me just pull one of those out of the community in my mind. And that is, Brian is out in Chicago, and Brian was your typical 17-year corporate person, not real estate, just traveled on planes every other week. Son was getting older, started to bum out that, you know, that he was leaving him. And so he found us in, I think it was right before COVID of all times, November of 19, took our simple online course, you know, nothing crazy. It's less than $1,000. He went through the course. He then sent us a video. Personal video. We didn't require it. We didn't ask for it. And said, here's why I think I'd be good for your community. And I'm going to be one of the best students. Now, of course, you get those comments all the time, right? Some people say, oh, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to beat everybody. Well, fast forward. He did what you alluded to earlier with the lease purchase deals. He took a whopping $10 per deal, because that's what our agreements are built. It's built with a $10 option deposit. He built his first, at the time I interviewed him on my show, it was eight deals, but he's over a dozen now. But those first eight deals were all done with a lease purchase because they're the easiest for a new person. They were all built with $10 because it's simple for a new person. And they all three paydays, all eight deals, he was a little over 800 grand. I think it was 840 grand. He did leave his job after 17 years and he's full-time with us. Very, very involved. And I know that's a fast forward of a story, but I want the listeners to know that when you talk about a family community, these guys have access to each other and us on Slack, like 100 plus of us on Slack. So some days before I even get on Slack, Bill, there'll be a question, and, you know, 15 people answer it before I can even get to it. So it's just a great community. And to look at our purpose of helping individuals and families to create the life of their dreams, that's the company purpose. That's what's happening when you take people like that. And of course, they got to be coachable. This is not we handed to him on a silver platter. He worked his butt off. In his defense, but the ones that are coachable and want to work, it's life changing when you start talking our three paydays ranging between 45 grand and 250 grand per deal. That's a big deal for almost anybody you talk to. So that's just one story out of the community that comes to mind, because that was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind too, you know, just if we could take just a little step back and you can explain, because you're using terms like, you know, lease option and $10 and maybe just. Just kind of break it out a little bit. You don't have to go into great detail, but the idea of what processes, this person is going through and, sure. And you know, how does he make contact with the potential seller and just, you know, just kind of give us at least the overview there.
Sure. Sorry. Thanks for the reminder. Back to basics, right?
Yeah.
okay. So let's start at the beginning. And again, pull me back if it's not where we're trying to nail. So the very beginning is the students are given any resource that we have as a family company. We let them know about it. It's on our site. They can just go get what we do. So one of them is a service that provides daily feeds of expired listings, for sale by owner listings, and for rent by owner listings. Big deal during COVID because people don't want to be landlords anymore. Mm. So he gets those. He makes a call, let's say, to an expired listing. I'll use one that's on my desk right now. I called this for a student today. It was an expired listing. He was on the market for $715,000. He did not sell. He owes $475,000. My initial conversation to continue this process was very simple. His name was Adam, and Adam said, yeah, one of your students called me, because this is how we help our students. We get on when there's a new student. One of your students called me and told me about a lease purchase. Can you tell me how it would work for my house? I said, sure. The deed stays in your name. You were on the market at 715. You were going to pay a realtor. Do you know what you were trying to, like, all said and done, you pay a realtor, what you were trying to net in your pocket? He said, yeah, probably like 200 grand, maybe a little less. Like, he just had a rough idea after he paid his commission and fees where it'd be. Mortgage owed 475. So I said, real simple, Adam, the call will take me just a few minutes. We're going to lock in your equity of 240 grand. That's the difference between what you were trying to sell and you didn't sell it and what you owe. It's 240. So we're going to lock that in. On or before 36 months, we're going to go ahead and pay off your loan, which is less now. That's to our benefit. And we're going to give you your $240,000. So he's going to net more with the lease purchase. And all lease purchases is for $10. I have the right to purchase his property on or before 36 months or assign it to one of my own buyers, if that's the case with what we do. And for that $10, deed doesn't transfer, everything's safe for the seller. The difference is we take over the underlying mortgage payment by just simply making the payment for him. We don't assume it or sign on it. And we also take over all maintenance and repairs because we pass that on to our buyer. And then who goes in that home? The person you and I talked about earlier. They need credit repair or they need seasoning. You know, these buyers that just need time. So that's the initial conversation is just that. And I said to him, if you need that money now, that 200, we're going to protect more. But if you need like your couple hundred grand now, then you'd be better off selling and taking a little bit less. But if you have time, you don't need that tomorrow, this will be a better route for you. Those are the type of people that do business with us. And the conversation was great after that without getting too crazy. So they get the lead from a source that feeds them every day. They call it. They have scripts from us that allow them to learn how to talk to the sellers. They then tie that property up under agreement. Very key point is they do not stop making that underlying mortgage payment until such time they find their buyer who needs time, who will go into that home under a rent-to-own vehicle to cover all those numbers I just talked about. Is that a little bit better on the?
Yeah, great, great, very good. And just to clarify, so the person that is on the other side, in other words, okay, you found the deal. This is you structured it in a way that looked like it just was excellent for this guy. But then you've got to find that, that person to come in there to rent to own, like you were saying, or lease option. So this is an individual that normally would probably not have a good chance of getting approved for a mortgage, for example.
Correct.
Yeah. But a rent to own gives them that option. So within a period of time, they could in essence improve their credit scores and so that they could actually finance this property. Am I right?
That's correct. Whether it's improved credit score or they have to save more, or like the people starting their own business, they just need what the bank calls 2 years of seasoning, some history, whatever it might be, they need time and we provide that on ramp. Very important piece here though. They do go, Bill, through underwriting. There's a lot of educators out there and they do it publicly. So I'm not talking to school about them, but they'll say, oh, who cares if your buyer qualifies? You collect a down payment and if they don't qualify, they leave and you do it again. Well, that's awful. Morally and ethically, it's awful. So what we do up front is we put the buyer through third-party screening. So they come out of that screening with a mortgage-ready plan, we call it. And it says, hey, I spoke to your buyer, Bill. They'll be mortgage ready if they follow A, B, C, D, they follow the plan. Bill will be mortgage ready in blank months. And it usually ranges from like 18 to 30 months. And then we just help the buyer stay accountable to that plan. And then yes, to your question, they go out and get a regular conventional loan towards the end when they now can qualify more readily. And they purchase the home directly in the sandwich lease situation, directly with the seller, and we're in the middle.
Okay. And that's the thing to me, we're over 600 or right around 600 podcasts here. Talked to a number of people that do lease options. And one thing that really stood out to me is the fact that you get behind the person that's doing the rent to buy part of it. And like you said, a lot of people will just look at this and they'll say, hey, if they don't do it, great. Hey, you got to great piece of real estate now,
right.
and they just kind of shove that off. But the fact that you put so much into that this is what really impressed me. And I just think that you don't set them up for failure. You're trying to set them up to succeed, and you give them the steps that and the things that they need to do to make that happen. I mean, and that to me is a major differentiating point, because I would feel more comfortable, with that approach than I would the other one where, hey, they either get their act together or they don't. And, not everybody's equipped and not everybody has the tools to be able to make that happen, or at least understand what they have to do. And that's definitely a differentiating point in your business that really impresses me.
No, I appreciate it. I'll give you a metric. The industry stat, if you talked to it, and you, I'm sure you've had people on your show, their statistics, is probably going to be somewhere between 80 and 95% of their deals fall out because of what I said. We have about a 2 to 5, I'll even stretch it maybe because of COVID, say 2 to 10% fallout rate. But that's like an inverse relationship to the rest of the
God, that's, totally.
The people doing it.
Now, do you also help them point them to FHA loans or some types of loans that might fit better for their situation? Put them in contact with mortgage brokers or bankers, what have you?
Yep, we definitely do. For example, our family team, my son Nick handles the buyer side of this. He's very well scripted now. He's been doing this for a long time with us. And he has a woman, Michelle, that really had started originally, like most loan officers, not understanding how what we call a payday three, a sandwich lease cash out is. I mean, it's because there is some intricacies at the very end of this when it cashes out. Well, now she's done, I don't know how many, maybe 100, whatever the number is. She's definitely well versed. So now Nick, my son, gets the buyers with her anywhere between 6 and 12 months ahead of their sort of end mortgage date. And they start working that and then they close it out and we don't hear from her. So now she's worked out all the kinks. Now there are a bunch of Michelles, so to speak, in a lot of the different markets we exist in now with our Wicked Smart community, our associates, because we've established similar relationships and helped those students. So there's some really cool mortgage officers that know how to cash these out quite readily with us.
Okay, that's great. And they know they're used to that type of buyer, which is a real advantage. I'm going to take a little step back just for those that are listening that may, they're starting to get it, but maybe they don't have the whole package. You've got this buyer. Now, the buyer does have some responsibility here. And, maybe you could touch on that in terms of there is a down payment, right?
Yeah, most definitely. So when I kept saying three paydays, so again, to your basic thing, this is important. We trademarked, since we talked to you, we trademarked three paydays in the United States. And payday one is a buyer comes in with a non-refundable down payment. And this is very important for two reasons. One, they are truly a buyer. That's what a buyer does. Second, you're not setting them up to win. In most cases, and there are exceptions, FHA, VA, et cetera, but you're not setting them up to win on a conventional finance deal if the deposit is out of whack at the end of the term. For example, if it's a jumbo loan and they know they get up 20% at the end and you're requiring 4 or 5%, you're setting them up to have a headache at the end of this thing. So yes, they need a down payment, and that's what I refer to as our payday one.
Okay. And is that... that's separate from the down payment they might have to do when they do finance it. Is that correct?
Good question. That usually is one and the same. So let's just say the home is, use round numbers, $500,000. And let's say it's in a market that is not a jumbo. And so we're going to want them to come up with 10%. That's their down payment. It's non-refundable, but it is their down payment. They do get full credit for it. And that sometimes, Bill, is up front, and sometimes it's up front and over time. It's about 50% of the time. Some of you will say, well, instead of 50 grand right now, I've got 30, but I got a tax refund coming in February, and I have a retroactive pay for my raise coming in this date. And we work out a plan so that they can increase that over time, getting themselves in a much better state to go ahead and get end financing and loan.
Gotcha. And it's one and the same. Can you explain that?
Sure. So in our agreement, sales price says 500 grand, down payment says 50 grand. So when they go to get financing, we teach them this, they have to source that. Just like if you and I were going to go get a loan tomorrow, they're going to go, okay, Bill, where'd you get the 50 grand? Was it a gift? Did you have it in your bank? How long? So they're going to have to show, yes, I gave that company, our family company, or one of our students, the 50 grand. Here's where it came from. Here's the sourcing of it. And of course, on our end, we're asked to provide that to the lender. So it's no different than if you and I got a loan today. The difference is we've got to be diligent with our records over the next 3 years if they're putting money down consistently to track that with them and for them so that it is counted for their down payment.
And that's another good thing you mentioned there too. You mentioned 3 years. Is that sort of a standard waiting period depending on the individual?
Only for two sets of circumstances off the top of my head. One is if I'm dealing with a seller, and this is a moral and ethical issue too, if I'm dealing with a seller that's selling their primary residence and they're going to be out of that, they got to be in that for the last 2 out of 5 years to maintain their exclusion when they go ahead and sell, so they don't get hit with capital gains. And so some sellers don't know that. And I don't want to structure a 4-year term, for example, with a seller that puts them in a bad tax situation. So that's number one. Number two, on the buyer side, most buyers do get qualified, the ones we pick, to be somewhere in that 18 to 30 range month-wise. So when we structure 36, we're leaving ourselves a little wiggle room with the seller, so nobody gets frustrated with any unrealistic timeframes. But if I end up structuring that's a lease purchase. If I end up structuring an owner financing deal, let's say, as I said at the beginning of the show, we're structuring longer terms, say 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, I simply relay that to the buyer. Look, no stress. You've got time. Let's work on this plan, but don't stress out about it. Because some buyers really, they didn't get financing for a reason, and they're frustrated, and they're stressed out with it. So if they have more time, we just don't push them. We just don't push the accountability as much. We give them that longer stretch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. That's great that there's an alternative there, should mm-hmm. they not qualify. So, Guy, that's great stuff. That's great stuff. Wow. And you have another, maybe one more example you can give us before we close out, something that really worked well.
Yeah. I'll give one because we just got that call. So there's a gentleman that was just like I talked about earlier. He is from medical sales, does very well, multiple six figures in his profession, but just had enough, fairly young, joined our associate community and worked hard because I don't want this to be like, hey, this is an overnight get rich, even though the three paydays are very lucrative. It's not tomorrow. There's skill sets here. There's mindset pieces here. There's systems. Everything has to be developed. Well, Justin took probably... Man, I'm going to guess he just literally got his deal under contract today, but I think it took him about 8 or 9 months, maybe more, part-time. Then he finally left his job in medical sales to do this. He was set up so that he could do it. His three paydays, the bill, now this is, again, is brand new today. He got this under agreement. His three paydays are in excess of $100,000. Now, yes, he did very well. Let's say multiple six figures. Let's say a couple hundred grand in his job. But when he puts together three or four more of these, he just did his first. But when he puts together three or four more of these and he spreads that term out, he's got a predictable three payday income stream on every single house. And now he has a lifestyle because he literally said to us today, since I left my job, my deals weren't flowing yet. Today was my first one, but I see my family. I go away. I don't stress. I was away this weekend. It was a whole different lifestyle thing. And remember what I said, the purpose of our company is to help individuals and families create the life of their dreams. We literally look to do that as much as we can.
Wow. And is, are there just certain markets that are better to do this in, or is this happening in every kind of market? Are there certain characteristics of a market that make it more desirable or more opportunities there?
Not so much characteristic as in, like, I know there's some really good educators that teach multifamily in different ways to analyze markets, and then they go to those markets and they live there for 3 or 4 years, not live, but, do deals there. Not so with the terms business. We teach them to go within 50-mile radius of their work or home, and we'll teach them how to find deals within that. Now, what changes, though? Not characteristics, but what does change is when the market changes, say, when COVID hit and the market got red hot. Well, the for sale by owners, many of them were successful, right? We all know that. They were popping deals right away. So out of the three ways at the beginning of the show that I said we got leads, FSBO, for rent by owner, and expired, for sale by owner was not a hot one because they were selling on their own. So then we just shift a little bit and fish in a different pond, and that might have been the expireds, because no matter how hot the market, there are expireds. And then you might shift a little bit to for rent by owners because you had a lot of landlords that, age-wise or COVID-wise, we're just like, all right, I'm done. With all everything happened, COVID, and they got beat up. Because renters, let me just say this, renters behave differently, like during COVID. They behave differently than a buyer in the home during the same time period, i.e. COVID, because they want to buy that home. I know there were rent forgiveness things out there, but if you're buying that home, you got a path to run on for the mortgage company. It had nothing to do with the government saying you don't have to pay your rent. So it's so important to distinguish between the different types of people we put in these homes too. I think that was worth just throwing that in there.
No, that's a really good point. I mean, we still have people that are, under, seems like there's still a moratorium going on here in California. I mean, it's crazy. Mm. And so, yeah, and that's in that a lot of people that are taking advantage of it, but it's good that you point out that the people that are going to be buying that house and I really like the fact that you do everything you can to help them to buy, and I think that I can't emphasize that enough, but I think that that's key. And is getting that kind of an individual who isn't going to treat it like it's a rental. You know, this is their house, and that's kind of one of the appeals, I think, for the guy in between here, the one that's putting the deal together, is that you're not dealing with renters. You know, like people fix their own repairs. They do, you know, they do all that stuff separately. Isn't that correct?
Correct. Yeah, 100%. So we have very open discussions as well as disclosures at the beginning that basically sound like this. Look, Bill, we're not your landlord. You're a buyer. We're going to treat you like a buyer. Your home is going to appreciate if the market's going up or flat, like the market's not going up or down, just like you bought it today. The difference is we won't transfer title yet until you have your own mortgage. Everything else behaves and looks like and gets paid for like you are the buyer. So we literally say to them, especially for someone that's a first-time buyer or thought they never could buy because of their credit, we say, this is going to be the path that is going to feel like this when you have your mortgage. The only difference is it'll be in your name then.
That's great stuff. Great stuff, Chris. Wow. Yeah, it's been great catching up with you. And I was very curious how COVID impacted you, but it sounded like if anything, it sounds like it might even been a boost. I don't know.
We did have a surge. Yeah, we did. I couldn't tell you when we built it. As you recall, probably from our first chat, we built this niche in the business coming out of the crash in theory to really be able to thrive and kick butt in any market. And when COVID hit, first question everyone asked me, including my wife, was, okay, well, what's going to happen? I said, I don't know. We'll see if it behaves like we thought it would. And sure enough, we had a surge. So knock on wood, there's a lot of people we can help, and hopefully that'll continue.
That's great. This has been great having you on. I'm sure there's folks that are listening that would like to find out more about what you do. And what's the best way for folks to find that out?
Well, you were awesome with your time. We spent a lot of time together. If they don't mind listening to me blab for longer, I do have a free, I'm big on free. I have a free master's class, we call it. It's me on camera because of COVID instead of live. And it goes about 55 minutes, but it's taking what Bill and I did and really going back to the beginning and saying, okay, what systems do you set up? How do you talk to people? Who the heck would want to talk to you as a seller? Who the heck would want to talk to you as a buyer? And what does that look like? And then we tear apart each one of the deals that Bill and I talked about, the lease purchase, the owner financing, and the sub two. And we literally whiteboard it and show you how the three paydays work. I think that's an eye opener to people. And that's simply at smartrealestatecoach.com/masters class.
Awesome. Well, Chris, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This is good stuff. I think it's definitely pertinent to the times. And I think that there'll be some people listening, I'm sure, that want to dig deeper here. And I think it would fit, especially folks that are, you know, 50 plus that, you know, are looking at options and looking at ways that they might be able to supplement their retirement, and some that aren't real. You're not sitting real easy that their retirement may even be there in a few years. So being able to set themselves up where there is a buffer, if nothing else. So that's great.
Yeah, and we'll load them up too, Bill, when they go to the master's class, just a little foray into what'll happen. We load them up with more free stuff. Like, I want people to go free until they go, oh, okay, I get it. And then I just don't want anyone committing to anything until they do that. So we give them our free best-selling book. Like, we load them up. So I just want people to know that they're not going to get charged. They're going to get loaded up with free stuff.
Ah, that's great. That's great. Well, thank you so much for being on, Chris. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me again. It's always good to hang out, my man.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we really appreciate it. Please note everything that Chris talked about today will be outlined in detail in our olddogsreinetwork.com/blog area, and that's where the show notes are found. And you're going to look for show notes for the show with Chris Prefontaine. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.